Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the next 30 minutes, the fervent prayer for help as the United States President Donald Trump freezes a staggering $150 million United States dollars of financial assistance to the Republic of Ghana.
They've given us 90 days. Let's pray that it will not go beyond the 90 days, but we pray that God touches their heart to rescind their decision.
And if God does not touch their heart to do so?
Well, we will continue to remain a sovereign country, so no cause of alarm.
And there's more unfolding tonight as the situation is biting hard on government's fiscal space as it directs that any such appointments or recruitments into the public space by the 17th of February 2025 will now be reversed, according to a memo signed by the Chief of Staff. We'll bring you details tonight as we also tell you about the unfolding story on how the freeze on US aid could challenge the NDC's own pledge to scrap taxes on betting, the electronic transfer levy, and also possibly the COVID-19 levy.
When the budget is read somewhere in March, all the promises we made in respect to cancellation of taxes will be effected through the budget. And young people should look forward to the cancellation of the betting tax.
And top story, as always, is brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and quail. Enjoy a holy sleep. I am Blessed Sugar. And as we all know, the saying goes that when America sneezes, the world indeed catches a cold. Perhaps that's precisely the situation in which Ghana finds itself now, as government is confirming to us tonight that the country is at the risk of losing an estimated $156 million United States dollars in foreign development assistance to the American people, or which is coming in from the American people. The election of a new U.S. President, Donald Trump, has caused a seismic shift in the U.S. foreign policy, which will likely see a heavy slashdown in American foreign aid after a 90-day window targeted at reforming the activities of the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. Well, in a sharp response tonight, we're learning that government is taking a number of steps targeted at averting an economic shock, with President John Mahama directing the finance minister, Kizalato Fawcett, to take urgent steps to bridge this funding gap arising out of the suspension of the U.S. Aid. Joining us now is Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Agbagba, who's coming in with details plus how this is impacting on government fiscal space, because now there's a new directive also coming through from the Chief of Staff, who's giving us a sense of what is likely to happen also to recruitments in the public space. First off, listen to the Health Minister, Kwame Minta Akando, who's also been speaking about how emotional he is on the possibility that this might affect aid in the health sector to the tune of over 70 million United States dollars.
Yeah, I mean, this is a diplomatic engagement issue. We'll be engaging them. We need them. We cannot say we don't need them. We need them. We'll be engaging them. They've given us 90 days. Let's pray that it will not go beyond the 90 days. But I don't think there's any cause of alarm for now, especially with the emergencies they were assisting. we have been able to put measures in place to, maintain those activities on the field. For example, I'll give you one example. The distribution of, we call it the last milestone. So the distribution of, consumables and what have you, they assisted in some of the regions. So we have put measures in place to be able to continue those activities. And so there is no activity that will be put on hold. All the activities they were supporting will continue to operate until we pray that God touches their heart to rescind their decision.
And if God does not touch their heart to do so?
Well, we will continue to remain a sovereign country, so no cause of alarm.
Well, that's the situation in which we find ourselves, because now the fiscal space is beginning to tighten based on the revelations coming through in terms of the revenue shortfall and how this is even likely to impact government's significant recruitment process. There's a statement just coming through right as of now from the office of the president. Joining us now is the presidential affairs correspondent Maxwell Akwagba, who's joining us with details of that. And Maxwell, we understand, even before we get into the details as to how the president is concerned about the slash in U.S. aid, that there will be a revocation possibly of appointments and recruitments made after December 7. Tell us more about this memo we're learning of from the Chief of Staff.
Well, we are to officially get confirmation from our sources here at the presidency, but that letter that you referred to, that purported letter, we've seen a copy of that letter. And it proposed to come from the president and says revocation of appointments and recruitments made after 7th December 2024. It says consistent with government's pronouncement in relation to near end of tenure appointments and recruitments, I wish to bring to your attention that all appointments and recruitments made in the public services of Ghana after 7th December 2024 are not in compliance with established good governance practices and principles. Now, it concludes by saying, accordingly, all heads of government institutions are hereby requested to take the necessary steps to annul any such appointments or recruitments and submit a comprehensive report on the actions taken to this office by 17th February 2025. Your cooperation in this matter is highly appreciated. Signed by the Chief of Staff, Julius Debra. But I must state that we are just to get the official confirmation on whether this letter indeed is emanating from the office of the president signed by the Chief of Staff. But that's the letter indicating the revocation of appointments and recruitment made after 7th December.
And the fear for many is because this is stemming from international developments as to how the fiscal space may be further tightened for the government, which is now receiving the IMF team this week. In fact, they are present in the country as we speak, and also the decision by the United States government to freeze aid to the tune of up to $156 million to the people of Ghana. Explain to us why the president is alarmed about this development in the first place.
Well, from the indication that we have from the letter that came from the presidency earlier today, it indicated that the U.S. aid suspension has created a $156 million funding gap for Ghana, impacting key development programs across the country. Now, the statement from the president's office also indicated that the move comes after a strategic review of Ghana's financial situation and the challenges posed by the aid freeze. Now, in response, we are told the government is actively seeking alternative funding solutions to sustain critical initiatives in education, health, and infrastructure without interruption. Bless it.
And how about health? Because in the health sector, some 70 million plus is also at stake.
Yes. Blessed, we are told that of particular concern, according to that statement, of particular concern to the president is the impact of the projected $78.2 million shortfall that would adversely impact such critical interventions as malaria prevention, maternal and child health, family planning, reproductive health, nutrition, and the fight against HIV/AIDS, under which availability of antiretroviral drug testing and prevention programs are threatened. Now, of course, You know that across the sub-Saharan Africa, there's a lot of worry among many African governments that the treatment of millions of people living with HIV could still face, you know, could face disruptions as a result of this AIDS freeze, President.
And in the wake of all of this, government is giving us what their posture will be, that in the next 120 days, major tax handles will be scrapped. And fortunately or coincidentally, the task force on the 120-day task force or compact for the government has been meeting the president, where they are still insisting that they will proceed with scrapping all of these tax handles in spite of the international development. Tell us about your interaction with some of the members on this tax force, and will we see the likes of the COVID-19 levy, the e-levy, and the betting tax strapped?
Yes, indeed, President. After that meeting today here at the presidency, we had interactions with some members of the tax force, who gave us the clear indication that indeed the president is committed to fulfilling his promises and fulfilling his 120-day social contract with Ghanaians, and that they'll stick to the timeline. And I spoke to the Minister for Youth Development, George Oparu Addo, who said that he's confident and optimistic that that definitely is going to happen as promised by the president.
I'm about three of them, the National Apprenticeship Program, okay. The Edumera Program, okay. And partly the CODES Program, the 1 million CODES Program. It is young people that will be trained to undertake these programs. And so these three programs specifically falls within the mandate of the Ministry for Youth Development and Empowerment.
Yeah. And we know you've been in office for just some days. Do you think we're making progress in that regard?
We've made a lot of progress. Yesterday, I presented a working paper to Dr. Valerie Soya on how we intend to go about implementing and launching some of this program. And so clearly, we are making a lot of progress. And I want to assure everyone that we'll meet the 120-day target His Excellency has set for the good people of this country.
Okay, great. What about the, aside from the one that comes directly under your ministry, what about the other ones you think this government is making progress?
When we did a 30-day mandate, we realized that a lot of the things we promised in the manifesto that we're going to do have already commenced. And so clearly, we've ticked the boxes, we know what we have to do, and I want to believe strongly that everybody around our table is committed to seeing to that vision of His Excellency President Mahama. And so we will definitely meet the targets come the 120 days. And on that day, we'll have a ceremony where we'll be ticking the boxes and telling Ghanaians what we promised and what we've delivered.
Okay. This one doesn't fall directly under your mandate, but it's something a lot of young people are looking forward to. That's the scrapping of the nuisance taxes, particularly the betting tax.
When the budget is read somewhere in March, all the promises we made in respect to cancellation of taxes will be effected through the budget. Okay. And young people should look forward to the cancellation of the betting tax.
And in the last few minutes, we've been doing our own dig and looking at the figures and what possibly the impact will be if all of these tax handles are left to go by the finance minister, given the fact that there is a likely freeze on this $150 million revenue window that may be open to the NDC administration. It's no longer or likely to be cut off or perhaps streamlined by the US government, which will definitely affect the fiscal space. Isaac Kofia, Chase Data Analyst here at Join News. And also joining us over the phone now is Dr. Sherif Mahmoud Khalid, who's an economic policy advisor to the Vice President, joining us on this conversation. We're bringing in two academics shortly to help us, find out what the way out will be for government. Dr. Khalid, thank you for spending some time with us here on Top Story.
Good evening.
It's good to have you with us. And just hold the lines for us, because we've done our own analysis on what possibly the impact is. And Isaac, bring us up to speed with that. $150 million United States dollars likely to go. What's the alternative?
Blessed, the health sector is really important. I mean, when it comes to aid, one place that you really need to keep an eye on is the health sector, because this is a sector that about 18% or close to 20% of its budget comes from donors. And majority of that goes into capex and goods and services and all of that. I mean, if you look at the the expenditure right now in terms of the tax cut and then also what we are likely to lose, we understand that the former proposal to the US aid was somewhere around $140 million. Mm. But government is updating the figure and saying that if this pause continue, we could be losing
$156
million. Yeah. And now we are trying to compare this to the tax cuts, right? Mm. There are three of them that we've been, tracking using data from the 2024, budget. In terms of the COVID-19 levy, if government decide to scrap it this year, it means that we are foregoing some $258 million. Now,
at Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Will forgo some $176 million. Betting and gaming tax will be forgoing $110 million. If you add all of that, that's $544 million. Compare that to what we are crying over now, $156 million versus $544 million. Almost.
And in all of this, we're getting the assurance from the minister that by March, all of this will go away.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare this to what we are letting go, we are letting go $544 million. Mm. And we are crying over $156 million. So at the moment, that is the situation. Government.
Kofi, in fact, let's clear this off the table. Yeah. You'd have to stay with us all throughout. And Dr. Khalid, I believe this is where the bigger question arises as to what your government would do differently to plug this feather holes, because the president is already directing that steps be taken by the finance minister to plug the first one, which is the 156 compact with the U.S.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, as you could see, the president has done the right thing by issuing a directive. And by doing that directive, what it means is that he's injecting confidence into a system that I have a hold on this. And I've directed the rightful man with the job who can assemble a good team together to actually fix or ameliorate the situation, i.e. the finance minister being directed to actually find a stopgap to this. So that has been initiated, and that is in motion as of now.
How does that, sufficiently assure the people of Ghana that we're not going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul? You have a huge, revenue leakage to plug. Then you have to also make up for the promises you made to scrap all these tax handles. I'm looking for practical solutions here. You seem to be talking about what's politically ideal for your party.
No, not that. I mean, if we're talking about what is politically ideal, I'm sure we'd have kept all of the monies that your correspondent has said that we'll be scraping off in terms of these nuisance taxes. And there's no indication, actually, as you want to rightly indicate, that there's going to be a case of robbing Peter to pay Paul, because there have not been any indication of tax rise. Mm. There have not been any indication of actually even maintaining the taxes or the nuisance taxes that have been promised to be scrapped off. Mm. So I think there's not a case of robbing to pay Peter Paul here, but what is actually happening is that effective directive has been given to inject confidence in the system. There's a lot to explore in this regard. You look at reallocation of domestic revenues. You could look at leveraging on crowdfunding initiatives. You could look at re-engagement with the international financial institutions and also exploring other alternatives, funding sources.
At least
these are all on the table to look at.
At least what's on the table, at least on paper, for the NDC, and Isaac, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the NDC has committed to renegotiating the IMF deal. Global, that hasn't taken off yet. So I'm wondering how you'd be, you know, working all of these through. But Doc, just hold on for me, because also joining us tonight is Professor Lord Maokoyevugan, a political economist and development expert at GIMPA. We also do have Professor Godfrey Bokpin, finance and economics expert at the University of Ghana Business School. Thanks to you both, Prof, for joining us. But Professor Bokpin, I just want to start off with you, because we are learning the IMF team is also in town. This is happening amid the international development on what the U.S. is planning to do. And then government says they'll still scrap the taxes. That's going to be between a rock and a hard place for the government now, isn't it?
No, not at all. I do not hold that view. Those taxes must go, consistent with the promises that the president made to the people of Ghana. And it will not systematically undermine our development outcome. Look at it this way. I think let's not position these tax cuts as losses. Let's position these tax cuts as incentives being written by the government to businesses, to households, to promote consumption, to promote businesses. If you look at it from that perspective, you will see these tax cuts as an investment that will generate multiplier effects that will benefit the economy overall. If you are looking at growing the digital economy and you eliminate the e-levy and the Momo uptake picks up and the Momo operators make more profit, they pay more taxes, employment will be generated. In any case, bear in mind that whilst we look at these tax cuts as losses, instead of looking at it as big incentives, this country, we have been granting incentives annually, what through tax exemptions, to selected businesses and companies to the tune of between 3 to 5% of our GDP annually in the past 25 years. These are losses.
Right.
These are tax expenditures. But because it is not benefiting the general public, we are majoring on the minor by talking about this tax cut as though these are losses.
I see. So for you, that there's all obviously an avenue or a way out.
I'm
on
not
this.
Done yet.
What I want us to do now is to look at the latest directive coming through from the presidency. We're yet to fully confirm that, but indications are that, yes, the appointments done immediately after December 7 would also have to go away. You feel that would equally add up to freeing, or is part of government's ploy to look at the alternatives? Do you feel that will help by clearing all of these people off the payroll?
We have to look at that critically, but more importantly, we have to look at other big-ticket expenditure cuts and efficiency we have to explore. Let me give you an example. Our current president, during the campaign, told us that cabinet retreat was costing this nation taxpayers 5 million Ghana cedis. Cabinet retreat. That is more than the aid the U.S. is withholding from the health and the others, right? Far more than that. Do you know the budgetary allocation to the office of president in 2024? It was almost how much e-levy will bring. What is the level of efficiency in that? Even look at the U.S. They've set up a whole department for government efficiency. I think the president should set up a small task force tasked with looking at expenditure efficiency sources where that can come from across central government, state-owned enterprises in that way. And let's cause that. How much savings we can make from that?
Right.
Our problem is the abuse from the expenditure side.
Right.
And which benefit politicians and political financiers. And every day we tend to benefit burden taxpayers. These taxes must go.
Okay, indeed. And that's what, that's what you've stood for all this while. Just hold on for us, because there's the angle or dimension about what the U.S. itself could do for us in these very trying times. Yes, they are, of course, slashing foreign aid, but given the long-lasting, diplomatic ties we've had with them, I'm wondering what options we could explore. Let's hear from Professor Lord Maoko, who's a convener for the International Relations and Diplomatic Network Ghana, also a political economist at GIMPA. Prof, you've been listening to the other Prof, Bokpin, talk about the avenues by which government could cut spending. But how about the U.S. itself? This is by far one of our strongest allies in the West.
Yes, thank you, Blessed, and good evening to Prof and the other panelists.
And I agree totally with Wogbin's argument about direct taxes that must go. I mean, these were campaign promises. And I agree with him that we shouldn't always seek to punish the poor. We should look deeply with them and look at ways in which we can remove waste and cut waste in government expenditures. The president has put in a freeze on non-essential travels, and also in terms of usage of first class and all that. I think the government can do a lot more in eliminating waste so that the taxpayer is not burdened. Having said that, if you look at what Trump is doing, Trump is looking within America and looking at even cutting waste in America itself. I mean, the department he's created is to eliminate waste. Therefore, it tells you that we are coming back to fiscal discipline in terms of even America as a leading economy.
And Prof, are you then saying that it's all over for us? I mean, this is the U.S. we're talking about. We've enjoyed smooth relations with them.
Trump is a negotiator. Trump is somebody who uses all kinds of techniques to negotiate. You see what he's done to Canada and Mexico after threatening to impose tariffs. Then he also called, and then they made some concessions and their support. So for me, even though there's a blanket suspension of USAID, I think that in the long term, Trump may look at individual countries, case by case, and look at the geostrategic and importance of countries and try to see what they can do differently for them. I think in the interim, he's trying to use a blanket approach, but bilateral relations exist between America and other countries. So I think Ghana should also exploit ways in which we can also leverage. I mean, there are things that we can also do as a way to leverage. Because, for example, if you look at American companies in Ghana on foreign direct investment, how are we treating them? It's about time we also started to talk to these development investors, asking them that, look, as a country, we expect you to do A, B, C, D. We are directing you to certain sectors of our economy for investment, and we are making sure you retain some of your earnings. So I think it's an opportunity. Mm. The same way
right.
China is also doing retaliation towards America,
right.
We should also begin to exploit avenues that we can also leverage.
Right.
So that once we do that, Donald Trump knows that you also have a leverage. Then he'll come to the table for discussion.
Right. And I'm just praying we don't flex our muscles with the U.S., but Isaac Ovieje is with us. Isaac, that's a very crucial point.
Yeah.
But the IMF team, as we speak, is in town. And gentlemen, just hold on for me. Let's Isaac bring us up to speed with what's been happening to that aspect of the IMF talks.
I mean,
briefly.
Negotiations are currently on expenditure and then budgetary allocation for 2025. We understand that a clear indication was given in the third review that was released in December. But the team are here to finalize because there's a new government in town. We understand that the government wants to renegotiate the program. This is the first time Dr. Keisola Tofose and his team will be meeting the IMF. You know, there's a new acting Bank of Ghana governor and all of that. So there's a whole, you know, cocktail of events going on at the moment. This will be a special review.
So this would not be a platform to renegotiate the deal. It's practically not possible.
Well, it can start the renegotiation.
Because we got some window in the first few days of the NDC administration.
Yeah, I mean, but the conversation now is around, I mean, we understand governments want to cut certain taxes. Mm. What are some of the alternatives? Are you going to go into tax exemptions? Are you going to go into property tax and all of that? Mm. So it depends on what the NDC and the current government will bring to the negotiations. But interesting times ahead.
Yeah, indeed. And what we need to do now is to go. But gentlemen, let's give you a few seconds. And of course, Dr. Sharif, as we wrap up, a few seconds for all of you. How do we move forward? And I believe the conversation is about weaning ourselves off aid.
I mean, this has been long coming. As you would see in the UK, for example, their aid or development aid budget was reduced from 0.7% of gross national income GNI to 0.5%. That is, this was done to actually break the gap when COVID-19 hit. So if you look at most aid agencies around the world, bar JICA, which is the Japanese International Development Corporation, most of them have been reducing their aid or their international aid budget. So this is an indication that internally a lot more needs to be done to actually build robustness in embracing our economies. And that's what I think President Mahama has been doing or signaling in the last couple of months since he took over. This is an early government that's just 30 days old and effectively it's been sending the right signal.
Indeed.
And as you'd say, when a new government comes in, there's a certain goodwill that can be turned around.
Right.
And this is what he's embracing.
among other prudent measures to turn around.
We need to go. We need to go
to the economy.
Right. 30 seconds each for you, Professor Bobkin. You first.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And I think I agree with Dr. Sherif. I mean, look, Trump is making this aid cut a headline, something that almost all our development partners have been doing on the quiet. He's been scaling down significantly. Even though Ghana is a donor darling country, check the statistics and all of that. We should have seen this long ago. And I want you go back to the Ghana Beyond Aid document, and you will see the thinking of the country with respect to aid and all of that. So aid is not going to be there, and even across even our traditional partners and all of that.
Right.
But of course, remember that when we talk about aid, it's not only coming from the U.S.
I see.
We also have aid that comes also in the form of concessionary funding with some those loans price significantly below market rate and all of that. So from the IMF, the World Bank, and the others. So we should look at other alternatives.
I see.
Also in terms of our relationship.
Grateful. Professor Lotmako, your expertise is also in that field of aid and reinventing it. Briefly, in 30 seconds, how do we wean ourselves off this aid?
Well, I think that this wake-up call, some of us have been against dependency on aid all these years. And I think Ghana, almost 70 years after independence, we don't have any excuse for crying that Donald Trump is cutting aid. Mm. Our peers in South Asia, our peers, the Asian Tigers, who we started off, we are not complaining about USA.
Mm.
So we should get over it and then begin to see how
indeed
we can actually show maturity. We are not a poor, miserable country that should be crying because of cut of
aid. Grateful for your time, Professor Lotmako Yefuga, to you also, Professor Godfred Bokwin, and to Dr. Sherif Khalid for joining us on Top Story. Next is Newsnight.
Reasons why we
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.